ever get that feeling? Like you're just drowning in information.
Oh, yeah.
Articles and headlines and notifications, just all this stuff.
It's a lot.
It really is. It's like a wave crashing over you.
Yeah.
And you know, funny, the word noise, you know how we talk about information overload as noise?
Right.
It actually comes from the Latin word for nausea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like our brains are experiencing this kind of digital seasickness.
Interesting.
So we're going to be taking a deep dive, kind of revisiting this idea, some of these concepts from Cameron Stewart's article.
Okay.
Remember how he's talking about using etymology to kind of solve problems?
Yeah, his approach was really fascinating.
Yeah.
He argues that all this noise, this information overload, it's like a modern pain.
Okay.
Like it's a real thing. And you know, it actually ties back to the Latin root noxious.
Noxia.
So, yeah, meaning harmful.
So it's not just overwhelming, it's actually detrimental.
Exactly.
But Stewart also offers this antidote, right?
Right.
Curiosity. But not just, you know, any kind of idle curiosity. He's talking about really inquiring eagerly, getting to the root of things.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like an etymologist, tracing the origins of words.
Like really digging deep.
Yeah.
He even points out how curiosity itself comes from the Latin curiositas.
Oh, wow.
Which connects to cura, meaning care.
So it's about caring enough to dig deeper.
Yeah, to ask why.
So it's not just about asking questions, it's about asking the right questions.
Absolutely.
But sometimes, you know, even with the best intentions, all that digging leads you down these rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
All the time.
You start with one question and you end up like miles from where you began.
Absolutely. I think Stewart acknowledges that.
Okay.
He emphasizes that while curiosity is essential, it needs to be paired with the right tools and frameworks to be really effective.
So it's about having a strategy.
Yes.
For your exploration. It can't just be completely random.
So how do we turn this curiosity into a superpower then? Well, that's a great question.
Give us the tools.
Yeah. What can we use to make sense of all this noise and avoid those rabbit holes? Stewart points to several techniques.
Right.
One he highlights is the five whys technique.
Okay.
Have you ever used that one?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've never really tried it in practice, though.
It's surprisingly simple.
Okay.
But powerful. You start with a problem.
Okay.
And you just ask, why is this happening?
Okay.
Then you take the answer and you ask why again.
Oh, interesting.
You just keep doing that, peeling back those layers until you get to the root cause.
So you're going beyond the surface level symptoms.
Exactly.
And figuring out what's really driving the problem.
Exactly. Like a detective.
Mm-hmm.
Following those clues until you crack the case.
I like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But sometimes those problems involve other people.
Right.
And that's where things can get a little more complicated.
Right? Yeah, that's where empathy comes in.
Okay.
And the etymology of empathy is actually quite fascinating. It's a relatively recent addition to the English language, believe it or not.
I would have thought it'd been around forever.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm curious. I want to hear more about that.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
But for now, think about that classic phrase, walk a mile in my shoes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's empathy in action, right?
It's about trying to understand someone else's perspective,
yeah.
Seeing the world through their eyes.
Exactly. And Stewart argues that this kind of empathy is crucial for effective problem solving.
Okay.
Especially when you're dealing with people's needs and behaviors.
How do we actually go about understanding those deeper needs and motivations?
That's where frameworks like design thinking and jobs to be done or JTBD come in.
JTBD.
Yeah, they offer a more structured approach to understanding the why behind people's actions.
Okay.
Let's take JTBD, for example. It's based on the idea that people hire products or services to get a specific job done.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this connects to the bigger picture.
Right.
Can you give me a concrete example of how JTBD might apply to information overload?
Sure. Think about all the apps and platforms you use every day.
Oh, so many.
Why do you use them?
Yeah.
What job are you hiring them to do?
That's a good question.
Are you looking for information? Mm. Connection? Entertainment.
Right.
Understanding those underlying motivations can help you cut through the noise and focus on the tools and sources that truly serve your needs.
So instead of just passively consuming whatever pops up on my feed,
right,
I should be more intentional about what I'm hiring these platforms to do for me.
Precisely. It's about taking control of your information diet.
Okay.
Being more selective about what you consume, mm-hmm, and using tools that align with your specific needs and goals.
This is starting to make a lot of sense.
Good.
So we've got curiosity as the driving source.
Right.
The five whys for getting to the root of problems.
Yeah.
And JTBD for understanding those underlying motivations?
Yes.
Anything else we should add to our toolkit?
Well, Stewart also talks about the importance of iteration.
Okay.
The idea that problem solving is a process.
Right.
Not a one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
You try something, see what happens, and then you adjust your approach based on what you learned.
That's interesting because it reminds me of how we talk about etymology.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about finding one definitive answer.
Right.
But about tracing the evolution of a word over time, seeing how its meaning has shifted and changed.
It's the process of discovery.
Exactly.
Exactly. And just like with etymology, problem solving requires that same openness to exploration, that willingness to keep asking questions and refining our understanding.
I'm loving this connection between etymology and problem solving.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Feels like we're uncovering these hidden patterns, these deeper layers of meaning that can help us navigate the world more effectively.
And Stewart even suggests that every problem, like every word, has its own etymology.
Mm.
There's a history there, a story waiting to be told.
This is all so fascinating.
I know, right?
But before we get too carried away with our etymological adventures, let's take a moment to recap what we've covered so far.
Okay, sounds good.
We've talked about the importance of curiosity, the power of frameworks, like the five whys and JTBD, and the concept of iteration.
Right.
And we've started to explore this intriguing connection between etymology and problem solving.
Yeah.
The idea that understanding origins can help us unlock these deeper levels of meaning.
Exactly. And speaking of origins, remember that fascinating etymology of empathy I mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah. You piqued my interest with that one.
Well, I think now's the perfect time to delve into that.
Okay, let's hear it.
Where does this word empathy come from?
Yeah.
And how does its origin shed light on its meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might be surprised to learn that it's a relatively recent addition to the English language. It entered the English language only in the early 20th century.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That recent?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was coined by psychologist Edward Titchener.
Okay.
As a translation of the German word Einfühlung.
Einfühlung.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It literally means feeling into.
Feeling into.
Which I find to be a beautifully evocative way to describe empathy.
It really does capture that sense of like stepping into someone else's shoes, experiencing the world from their perspective.
Exactly.
Like really getting in there.
But what's even more fascinating is that the concept of empathy has been around for centuries.
Wow.
Explored in philosophy and literature.
So the word is new.
Yeah.
But the idea is ancient.
Exactly.
It makes you think about how language evolves.
Right.
How we're constantly finding new ways to express these complex human experiences.
Precisely. And as we've been discussing, exploring those origins,
right,
that etymology can give us a deeper understanding of the concepts themselves.
So we're adding another layer to our problem-solving toolkit.
Exactly.
Etymology becomes this lens through which we can examine our thoughts.
Yes.
Our ideas, even our emotions.
It encourages us to question our assumptions.
Okay.
To dig deeper, to look beyond the surface.
Okay, I'm really starting to see the value in this.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, all this talk about empathy and digging deeper makes me think about those rabbit holes again.
Ah, yes, the inevitable rabbit holes.
It's like you start out with a simple question.
Right.
And then suddenly you're down this winding path surrounded by all this information.
Yeah, get lost.
Yeah, and you're not even sure where you started anymore.
I think that's where having those frameworks, those tools we discussed earlier,
right,
becomes even more crucial.
So we can use things like the five whys and JTBD to help us stay on track even when we're exploring these deeper, more emotional concepts.
Absolutely. Let's think about how we might apply the five whys to empathy.
Okay.
Say you're working on a project.
Okay.
And you're struggling to understand the needs of your users.
That's a very real problem.
It is.
Especially this age of information overload, we're often designing for people we've never even met.
Exactly. So you could start by asking, why are users not engaging with our product? And then we dig deeper with each why, right?
Okay, so why aren't they finding it useful?
Right.
Why doesn't it meet their needs? Why haven't we understood those needs?
Precisely. And with each why, you're getting closer to the root cause.
Okay.
Which might reveal a lack of empathy in your design process.
Maybe we haven't spent enough time truly understanding our users' perspectives.
Yeah.
Their motivations, their pain points.
Exactly. The five whys can help us uncover those blind spots.
Okay.
And lead us to more empathetic solutions.
So it's not just about asking why five times.
Right.
It's about using those questions to guide us towards a deeper understanding. a more empathetic approach.
That's the key. It's about using these tools not just to solve problems,
right,
but to cultivate a mindset of curiosity, empathy, and continuous learning.
It's like we're training our brains to be more curious, more empathetic, more attuned to the nuances of human experience.
And that, I believe, is the real superpower we're talking about here.
It's not just about getting things done. It's about connecting with others, understanding their needs, and creating solutions that truly resonate with them.
And as Cameron Stewart suggests, this approach, this etymological mindset, can be applied to so much more than just problem solving.
It's about finding meaning, making connections, and seeing the world with a fresh perspective.
It's about recognizing that every word, every idea, every experience has a history, a story waiting to be told.
And sometimes those stories lead us to unexpected places, down those rabbit holes we were talking about.
But even those rabbit holes can be valuable learning experiences.
Right.
As long as we have the tools and the mindset to navigate them effectively.
Okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
From now on, I'm embracing the rabbit hole.
Slick.
But in a strategic way, of course.
That's the spirit.
Embrace the curiosity, use your tools, and don't be afraid to get a little lost along the way.
Exactly.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation. But I know our listeners are eager to hear more about how these ideas connect to problem solving in the real world.
Absolutely. Let's bring it back to Cameron Stewart's article.
Okay.
Those practical techniques he suggests for harnessing curiosity and overcoming information overload.
Sounds like a plan. Let's dive back in.
Yes.
We've talked about all these fascinating concepts.
It is a lot to unpack.
It really is.
Yeah.
Etymology, curiosity, empathy, frameworks like the five whys, GTBD.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we actually put this all together?
Right.
How does this actually help us deal with the overwhelming noise of information we face every day?
That's the million-dollar question.
It really is.
And I think Cameron Stewart offers some valuable insights in his article.
Okay.
He talks about the importance of being more deliberate.
Okay.
About our information consumption.
So it's about being selective.
Yes.
Choosing quality over quantity.
Exactly.
It's like curating our own mental diet.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And that's where those frameworks we discuss can be so helpful. JTBD, for example, can help us identify the specific jobs we need information to do for us.
Oh.
Are we looking for knowledge, inspiration, connection?
Right.
Or something else entirely?
So many different things.
Once we understand our underlying needs,
okay,
we can start to filter out the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the sources that truly matter.
So instead of mindlessly scrolling through our feeds, we should be asking ourselves,
right,
what job am I hiring this information to do for me?
Exactly.
And if it doesn't serve a purpose,
right,
maybe it's time to let it go.
Exactly. It's about being more mindful of our information consumption.
Okay.
Making conscious choices about what we allow into our mental space.
That makes a lot of sense. But even when we're being selective,
yeah,
there's still so much information out there.
There is.
How do we avoid feeling overwhelmed?
That's where those five whys can come into play again.
Okay.
When you're feeling overwhelmed by a particular topic or problem, try using the five whys to kind of drill down to the core issue.
So instead of getting bogged down in all the details,
right,
we can use the five whys,
yeah,
to focus on the root cause.
Exactly.
That underlying issue that's driving all the complexity.
Precisely. It's about simplifying, prioritizing,
okay,
focusing our energy where it matters most.
And remember, it's iterative.
Yes.
You might not find the perfect solution right away.
Right.
But by continually asking why, you'll gain a deeper understanding of the problem.
Exactly.
And ultimately arrive at a more effective solution.
It's a journey.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like we're training ourselves to think more critically, analyze information more effectively, approach challenges with a more strategic mindset.
That's the goal. And the beauty of this approach is that it's not just about solving problems.
Right.
It's about personal growth.
It is. It's about evolving.
By cultivating curiosity, empathy, and a willingness to dig deeper, we're constantly expanding our understanding of the world and ourselves.
It's like we're turning information overload into an opportunity for learning, growth, and self-discovery.
Exactly.
We're not just consuming information, we're engaging with it, questioning it, and using it to shape our understanding of the world.
It's about shifting from passive consumption to active engagement.
I love that.
From feeling overwhelmed to feeling empowered.
That's a great way to put it. So as we wrap up this deep dive,
yes,
what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important message is this.
Go on.
Embrace curiosity as your superpower.
Okay.
Be inquisitive ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to explore those rabbit holes.
I like it.
But remember,
yes,
curiosity is most effective when paired with the right tools and frameworks.
So use the five whys to get to the root of problems, JTBD, to understand underlying needs, and iteration to refine your approach.
Exactly.
And above all, stay curious, keep digging, and remember that every challenge is an opportunity for discovery.
Beautifully said.
Until next time, happy digging, everyone.
Step right up, gather round for a tale divine. Idioms that dance on a tightrope line. From shooting fish in a barrel, so absurd, to Bob's your uncle, the quirkiest words. Idioms and etymology, a big top melody. We unravel roots like a sideshow spree. Every phrase a treasure to behold, like finding gold in tales retold. Curiosity, from Latin it came, a quest for knowledge, always aflame. Etymologists digging deep with glee, unveiling truths for you and me. Idioms and etymology, a big top melody. We unravel roots like a sideshow spree. Every phrase a treasure to behold, like finding gold in tales retold. Beware the noise, the chaotic sea, overwhelming yet thrilling as life can be, like the dizzying spin of a circus ride. Our curiosity keeps us inside. Walk a mile in my shoes, empathy's plea, to understand others' perspectives you see. With design thinking and logic so clear, we'll solve each problem year by year. Idioms and etymology, a big top melody. We unravel roots like a sideshow spree. Every phrase a treasure to behold, like finding gold in tales retold. From noise to clarity, we'll shine our light, exploring language through the day and night. Like etymologists, we trace the roots deep. The stories we seek, we'll always keep.